Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it. Start by talking about backpacking. Anyone else here like to backpack? You're like, two of you? No? Put all your stuff on your back and let's go into the mountains. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. I like camping, backpacking. Where we moved from, we had a whole mountain area called the Trinity Alps, and they were gorgeous. They have lots of lakes to hike into, and I can't wait to explore the Blue Ridge. I have yet to go hiking. I mean, been tons of hikes, but backpacking, I have not encountered that here, and I look forward to it because I look and I see beautiful mountains, so I need to go explore overnight sometime. But where we live by Trinity Alps, I considered it like an eighth wonder of the world. Like, they are gorgeous, and lots of granite in the lakes. The lake beds are just all granite, so they're really clear, and the mountains are more jagged, so when you hike in. So backpacking, you know, you put everything on your back, usually in a sleeping bag, if you want to bring a tent or not tent, up to you, pack all your food. And if you want to know the kind of packer I am, like, if I'm going to splurge on any one item, like, that I'm willing to carry, it's food. It's just, I don't, you know, of course I want to be warm, but I had a friend that she loved to bring a lot of, like, lotions and cosmetics. I'm like, I don't need any of that. I will take more nuts or jerky or something yummy to eat. So we go backpacking, and I love getting away. I love being up in nature and just away from people as well. Your goal is to find, like, a lake where nobody's at. And, here's a picture of Eric and I backpacking. So that's what we look like when we go. And the thing about backpacking is sometimes you'll pick like an easy hike, maybe like 4 miles in, or you go a little bit longer, 9 or 10 miles in, and you go have fun, you know, 2, 3, 4 days. And the funny thing about backpacking or camping, though, is food. Food is a different level. Like, food, no matter what it is, no matter what you have, you're like, this is amazing. This is the best thing I've ever eaten. Like, you bring macaroni and cheese and you're like, gosh, this is so good. But then when you come home and you're like, I had the best food, we should try it here. And you eat at home, it's like not the same at all. And so the thing, on your last day, we always wake up, eat breakfast, and then, you know, break camp down, put everything, pack it up, and you're walking out. And while you're walking out, you know, it's so exciting knowing we are going to get in the car and we're going to go somewhere where someone's going to make us food. It's the best thing ever. And so just the hunger on your way out. When I think about hunger, I think of the last day when you're walking out backpacking, like the anticipation and knowing, like, I am so excited for something that I'm desiring. I don't have it yet, but I'm getting closer with each step. It's how I motivate myself. Like, if you just walk in, like, why do you go so fast on your way out? Because I know where I'm going, and I'm full of hunger. And so what I want to share now is a definition of hunger. It's a noun. The state of wanting or needing something you do not have. That is what I get to experience on the last day as I hike out backpacking, knowing that I don't eat hamburgers all the time and French fries. But when I am on my last day walking out, I'm like, there is a little dive down the road and I am going to go there and I'm going to eat as many calories as I can. And I'm going to enjoy it all. Food just has a different level when you're out there exercising and have been preparing your own stuff in a very primitive way. So hunger. Hunger is the state of wanting or needing something you do not have. See, we're on a journey of following God. We get to be in this land here in Greenville. And I can tell you that there is something welling up in me for the need and hunger for God. You know, we can hunger for lots of things, but even that anticipation that I talk about of something that I want more of, I know that I need God. When we turn on the news, is anyone really excited about what they hear? I'm like, what in the world is happening? God, I need more of you. Do you know that he's the person of wisdom? I'm like, Lord, we need you. Does anyone in here need healing or know of someone who needs healing? I'm like, Lord, we need more of you. When I encounter people and they need miracles in their marriage? Anyone need a miracle in their marriage or know someone who needs a miracle in their marriage? Because we need more of God. I don't see any way forward without needing more of his presence, more of his love, more of his wisdom of who he is. And so in this time, I feel like it's a time to level up. Like whatever was okay in the last season, we're stepping in a new season and it's not okay anymore. And whatever was enough that I was feeding off of in this last season to actually step into where God is calling us, we need more of him. Like we can't be satisfied with whatever we had of him from the last season. He has something fresh for us because that's his nature. He is a provider. But we are inviting and calling everyone into a week of prayer and fasting as a way to be humble before the Lord, to set ourselves apart, and to lean into what God is doing. See, I'm a very tenacious person. I love to be about stuff. I love no matter what is before me, I like to do it with everything within me. That's just how I do life. And I can feel, even in this season, as I'm walking with many of you, I can feel tenacity in my bones going, man, some people's lives are really challenging right now. It is crazy what's going on. And I want to tell you, in the crazy, it's not time to go away. It's not time to stop. It's not time to slow down. You actually do the opposite. It's time to lean in and get focused, but get focused on the right things. And I believe that it is a very strategic time to call a fast and to have time to pray. And as a church, we have never done a corporate fast. And so I want to take this morning to kind of unpack, what do we mean by this? Where is that in the Bible? And then even talking about prayer, because I believe that God is inviting us into something new if we can grab hold of it. And we have the opportunity to step into, I think, even more of who he's created us to be, but also what he's providing for us, should we choose it? Because there are things that have been okay before, but I tell you, something's changing. Like if you're used to wearing a jacket, it's time to take it off. Like it's just something's changing. So we want to know what he's doing so that we can move right along with him. Does that make sense? So thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you that you are perfect, Father, and that you guide our steps, that you provide what we need in every situation, in every season. And this morning, God, we invite you, we invite your presence and your spirit. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would not just fill us, but you would open our ears and our eyes, that we would know what you're saying and doing. Yeah, and thank you, Lord, for who you are. We say yes to more of you. We need you. We need you. Yeah, come and be with us and guide us. Amen. Amen. So what's the definition of fasting? Fasting is to hunger for more of God. It awakens our body and our soul to deep hunger and need for God. That's one of the things I love about fasting. But when you read the Bible, fasting usually means going without food. That's the fun part. You're like, woo, why are you so excited about fasting? Fasting in the Bible was always going without food. Sometimes it could be one meal. It could be during sun up, during certain times of the day. Or it could be all day long and just having water. It's saying no to one thing as we lean in and seek God. There is one other kind of fast that in the Bible was Daniel. Daniel ate only vegetables and drank water as he sought God. And God responded. God's so faithful. But I would say fasting and prayer is a level up kind of prayer. It's like we pray when we eat and we thank God for the food that he gives us. And that is good and right to do. But then to withgo something and to say, Lord, instead of that, I'm choosing you. That's a whole different level, like don't mess around kind of prayer. And that's what we're inviting you all into. There are other ways to say no to things for some reason. If you're not able to not eat food, I know people have done, you know, no entertainment or social media, or I know negativity, saying no, like hopefully we're never negative. But if those of us who maybe could use some stopping the negativity, those are options. And all of it is just intentionally setting ourselves apart, saying no to one thing, why we say, Lord, we're going to humble ourselves before you and seek you in this time. And it's really amazing the level of clarity that comes when we intentionally say no to something and say yes to God instead. Like, I don't know if you, like, for me, I don't realize how much I might scroll on Instagram and looking at videos and like, oh, I'm learning so much. I'm like, how much time are you taking? What if I took 1 week and I didn't scroll on social media and instead went out and read my Bible and said, actually, I want to take the time to learn more about you, God, and what's on your heart during this time. What do you think would happen to my clarity of my mind and my spirit? I just say, if you're at all struggling in any area, we're like, I don't really know my why in this season. I'm not really sure what God's providing for me. I challenge you to say no to one thing. And in that time, instead of doing that, seek God. And I would be very surprised if your level of clarity doesn't shift dramatically. And, you know, like, if you're choosing not to eat breakfast, instead of not eating breakfast, don't go watch cartoons. I know you guys don't do that. Don't go watch cartoons. Actually, during that time, instead of eating, go and seek God and worship. Start out worshiping Him and giving Him your heart and actually find out what's on His heart. And so that's what fasting is. It can, in the Bible, it had always to do with food, but if you're taking medication and can't do food, there are many creative ways to say no to something and intentionally humble yourself before the Lord. Why do we fast? We fast to offer ourselves to God. We fast to humble ourselves and to seek His face and then to get His heart so that we can pray it. Do you know that He invites us to pray and invites us to ask Him things? And fasting and prayer is a beautiful thing to do together. Here are four things I want to share about fasting. And I'm unpacking these because we're going to invite you to be a part of this. And so we'll go through some different scriptures. There's a lot more scriptures that involve fasting, but here are a couple that I want to highlight. But the first, the four things are, fasting is an act of humility and consecration. Number two, fasting helps us become sensitive to His Spirit. Number three, fasting brings breakthrough, deliverance, and revival. Wouldn't that be nice to have breakthrough? Anyone need breakthrough? Anyone need to be delivered from something? Yes, we need deliverance from a lot of things. And revival. And then lastly, and most importantly, Jesus fasted. He's the one that we model. He's the one that we follow. And we're going to go through each of these and just pull out a couple scriptures. The first one is in Exodus 19, when Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's a long journey, but God is leading Moses. And the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 19, 10 and 11, said, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So in this scripture, you see that in preparation for being in the presence of God, God tells Moses to have them consecrate themselves, to get ready, to get clean. They're talking about their clothes at that time, but cleanliness and can look like a lot of things, even on the inside as well. What does it look like to get ready to be in the presence of God? Like, what does it look like to get clean? Is there any sin in my life that I need to take care of? And what does it look like to take care of going, wow, actually, I live in a way that doesn't honor God all the time. Wow, Lord, forgive me for the way I talk to my kids or my husband. Or maybe there's attitudes that we have that we're just like, oh, I didn't even know that this is not an okay thing in my life. You know, sometimes we have those things and we just move along with life like it's normal because no one's going to make you deal with those things. But it's an awesome time to set yourself apart to go, Lord, I want to be consecrated and set apart for you because I want more of you. I want more of your presence, enough that I will say no to this and say yes to you. And when He brings up stuff that is not pleasing to Him or not even honoring to you or to Him, then you simply just go, Lord, I acknowledge this. I confess it to you and I ask forgiveness and I repent and I choose you instead. Super simple, but it'll change your life. So fasting is an act of humility and consecration. It's setting ourselves apart from sin and choosing holiness and purity. It's dedicating ourselves to the Lord. So number two, fasting helps us become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to His Spirit. I love this. I love the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we don't know why we're bound. We don't know why can't I feel Him? Why can't I hear Him anymore? I'm like, sometimes we don't realize the things that we're doing that are actually hurting us or even blocking our ears or making things just confused, swirls of confusion around us. But when we turn ourselves to the Lord and set ourselves apart, there is a sensitivity that comes to His Spirit. And that's what we need to be able to step into who He's created us to be. I love the scripture in Acts 13. It's when Saul and Barnabas are in Antioch with some friends and they're praying. And it says they were worshiping. This is Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. Says they are worshiping the Lord and fasting. See, there's that word again. You actually find it many times in the Bible. Very biblical, very normal Christian spiritual practice. So here we are at Studio. We're inviting you into a very normal spiritual practice. So Saul and Barnabas, they were with friends, Antioch, praying, and they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." They were called and sent by the Holy Spirit. So it was in that space of seeking God that He actually gave direction, and they were sent on a missionary journey from there. So you never know what's going to transpire, what comes to light that's inside of us when we seek God, but also what He begins to unfold about what He has for us. And so as we come to seek God and we are saying no to some things while we say yes to Him, and especially as a community, super powerful that we get to listen to God together. And then the third one is, and I love this, this one feels really strategic. So I picked a verse, a scripture that is very, gosh, there's so much strategy in this, and it always encourages me when I'm going through something hard. I just read this chapter and I'm inspired by how Jehoshaphat responds in a very challenging situation. Does anyone have challenging situations in their lives? Well, we're going to read a guy who had a very challenging situation and how the Lord provided for him. But it's in 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to skip through this chapter a bit and kind of hopscotch, but I encourage you, if you at all, if this resonates or if you want to learn more, go read the whole chapter. It is beautiful to see what God does. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came out and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea from Syria, and they are in Hezron Tamar." And Jehoshaphat feared. So this is just not a good day. If someone comes and tells you a great multitude is against you, like, there's a reason that Jehoshaphat feared, and he's not crazy. And I love to understand the context, because when you read the word, it's easy to go like, oh, that was just a story, and look, we already know what God did. But like, that's someone's life that they had to walk through, and we get to experience our own lives. But if we could make a connection knowing, actually, they had to do the same thing. They had to walk through it without knowing what the outcome would be. So he's afraid, and that is a very normal response when stuff comes against us. But I love his response, and this is why this chapter feels very strategic to me. His response to hearing that and when he feared, it says, and he set himself to seek the Lord. And in my Bible, that note said for himself is he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. So his response to a multitude coming against him was not to go run and hide under the blankets. It wasn't to go pick up a sword and try to fight them. He actually stopped. And he set his face to the Lord, and then he said, now we're going to fast. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 5 through 11, where he begins to remind people what God has done. He's reminding himself. He's reminding the Lord. Lord, what have you already done? And that's the way he's encouraging himself. So that's strategy all day long. If you feel at all like so much stuff is coming against you, this is a great model to follow. Go and seek God. Remind yourself and remind God, this is what you've said. This is who you are. And like, okay, that's what we do instead of just going to hide under the blankets. And then he even goes in verse 12 and 13. He says, oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Do you ever feel like that? You're like, what in the world am I to do? I've already done A, B, and C, and I don't even know what other option there is. That's where he's at. But then he goes, comma, and it says, but our eyes are on you. That is a very, very wise position to be in. Now all of Judah and their little ones, their wives and children, stood before the Lord. There's so much strategy in this. And then the Lord comes and he speaks to Jahaziel. And Jahaziel says, listen, all you Judah, this is verse 15, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Isn't it cool? They stop to seek God's face and God sends someone full of his spirit to tell them what God is saying. It's provision, direction, and a pathway forward. Isn't that amazing what happens when we seek God? Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I would never come up with that in a million years. If something was coming against me, I'm like, God has provided. He gave me muscles. He gave me these weapons. I mean, there are options, right? I'm like, oh no, actually God's plan this time is it's not yours. You just stay right there. Okay, Lord, we're going to follow you. And you know what's crazy? Judah did. Instead of going and fighting them, instead of running away, they stood and they let God, they worshiped God. It continues in verse 17 and 19. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Such a beautiful strategic response that I love to remember when we're having a hard time and we think that we're having a bad day. And some of us truly are having a bad day. I'm like, that's a great time to seek God. But we see what happens. In verse 22, we see the breakthrough that God gives them. In 22 says, now when they begin to sing and to praise, guys, praising with your voice, with your body, with your hands is a very powerful thing. Look what happens when they praised. When they praised, the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. God delivered this nation when they had no other option. They had no clue how they were going to get out of it. They sought the Lord. He provided, gave them direction forward. They looked to him, and he took care of everything, and the other army was defeated. I look at this, and I'm like, when we pray and we fast and we turn to the Lord, the Lord will deliver us. His kingdom advances and breakthroughs happen. You guys, we want to see breakthrough. We're stepping into a new season. We feel like it's a very strategic time to seek the Lord together. The last one, and probably the most important, is that Jesus fasted. Before Jesus even began ministry in Matthew 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Even Jesus got hungry. And then in Luke 4, 14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and report about him went throughout all the surrounding country. See, Jesus himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for public ministry. He was strengthened in the Spirit. And so when we fast and we pray, it's a way for us to level up. Like, we're not messing around. And I'd say the stuff that we're navigating, we need to get more focused. And there is more strategy in life than just doing what we've done before. And so we are calling a fast and prayer. And I want to also finish by talking about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is communication and communion with the Lord. It's us getting his heart, hearing what's on his heart, and also coming and talking to him, worshiping him, repenting before him, confessing before him, but also petitioning and asking things, asking for his help. Do you know that God loves when we ask for help? Like, I'm a mother and Eric's a father, so we got to experience what it's like to have kids. And when kids need you, and then when they actually are able to articulate what they want, it's so fun to be able to bless your kids. And God calls himself a father. And so he invites us to come and ask for things, as well as the power of, he is the person of truth. And so when we get his heart and we're able to pray truth, I love to pray scriptures. I love to pray, and just the power of it is when we partner with truth and then we use the authority that he's given us and we begin to pray that, things change. Things change in the natural and things change in the spiritual that maybe we don't see. So what does the Bible say about prayer? The Bible says a lot of things about prayer. These are just two scriptures that I wanted to highlight as I'm wrapping up. But the first one is Matthew 7. This is Jesus himself talking. And he says, Matthew 7, verse 7, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Do you know that he invites us to knock on doors? He invites us to ask, do you have need? Are there situations that are bother you that you're like, what's going to happen about that? What about this in Greenville? What about this in our world? Who's going to be our next president? What are we doing about it? What role are we playing? Because he's already asked us to come to him and he's already invited us to knock. He continues, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" I tell you guys, we need more of him. We need more of God. That's probably one of the best things that we could ask for him right now. More of his spirit, who he is as the person of love, wisdom, truth. It is hard to know what is true right now. That's why my biggest problem when I turn on any type of media or I read any articles, I don't actually know what to believe. They can tell me one thing, I'm like, I think I saw the opposite of that, but I'm not sure because I don't know everything. But you guys are really good at smoke and mirrors. I don't actually know. And so I need to be full of the person of truth, and I need discernment as well to know, God, what are you saying? And then what does it look like to partner with what you're doing? That's what we need, church. That's what we need to grow in. So it's a great time to seek his face. And then again, the second scripture I want to bring up is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is what we are invited to come and do. The question that I have for us is, stuff is happening in the world. What place are we going to take? And the Lord has already invited us in to come in, to partner with him and to be his ambassadors, to be people that are full of light and truth. But how we do that is being in his presence. And so we're intentionally taking time to set ourselves apart, to be consecrated unto the Lord and to seek his face and get his heart so that we can pray that as well. So that's what we're going to do in this upcoming week. And then the last part on prayer that I want to share is what Jesus teaches us to pray. We're going to talk about prayer. There's one prayer that he shared. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. It starts out, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." I love the starting acknowledgement of who God is as a father. There is acknowledgement, but also humility in that, because he's a father. What are we? Children. And a father provides. A father is trustworthy. A father brings safety. So even the way we are to relate to him is as a father. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That gives us a target. God, just do what I want. Just give me what I want in life. I would like more chocolate. I'm like Willy Wonka, you know? I'm like, no, actually, I want your heart, your will. And as it is in heaven, that's how it should be here on the earth. And I love to be able to pray for that, because people who come and they're in pain or there's brokenness, I'm like, well, is there pain in heaven? No, there's actually not. So that means there must not be broken backs and broken bones either. So I could pray, because I read my Bible, it says that to pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, there's no broken arms in heaven. So I just pray that this one would be healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. So it teaches us how to pray. Such an easy, fun, great model. And it's a target. And then the next one, verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's a sentence of trust. See, daily bread, the Israelites, when they were led out of Egypt, God provided manna on a daily basis. But the thing is, they couldn't save it till the next day. So they only had it on a daily basis, and they had to trust. When you can't save, You have to trust that it's going to be there the following day. So it's daily. Give us our daily bread. In verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the pathway of the kingdom. It's forgiveness. It's everything that we get to enjoy because he has forgiven us, but also we are to forgive each other. And so keeping that flow and even to be able to recite that, then like if there's any area that I'm not operating in forgiveness, please show me because I want to be free and forgiven. So it's a great prayer to pray. And do not lead us unto temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I love the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to take time to seek God, to turn and say no to from some things and to turn to him. And you can engage however you want. You need to pray about it. And we invite you to come and join us. It is a time to level up. I have friends that are sharing testimonies with me and saying, you know, I've been doing this one thing and I can tell I'm not supposed to do it anymore. And there's not necessarily bad things. It's just like, gosh, whether it's, you know, I've been watching X amount of shows or TV a week and I feel like I just want to be with the Lord more. I want to grow in other things and not just the latest episodes of whatever show. And I'm like, wow, that's an incredible decision. And they're like, I can tell what God's inviting me into. It's time for me to make a different decision. And as they're sharing, I'm being convicted like, wow, what decisions do I need to make to be able to become who he's called me to be, but also to step into what he's providing. I believe it's a season to level up, and what was okay before is not okay anymore. And that's going to be different for each of us. And so what I want to ask you today is as you look at this next season that we're stepping into, I want us to take a moment and think about what are things that should not be going with us, and what are things that we should be grabbing onto as we go into this next season? So what am I leaving behind and what am I taking with me? You know, and that I want to just throw out some different options. It could be as simple as what am I leaving behind? I'm leaving behind a bad attitude. Like who doesn't, like that never really serves us very well. Super easy, harder to identify though. What about I'm leaving behind judgment? Maybe you tend to be really judgmental with people and are just realizing that actually doesn't serve me or anyone else very well. Or I realize that when I'm hurt by people that I just cut them off. I actually don't have very good conflict resolution skills. And instead of working it out, I just leave or stop talking to them. But where God's calling you to be, to have the ministry of reconciliation, it's not okay to continue to do that. So there are things, maybe this is one that I hear. I openly process in all my pain and different things with people because I'm really vulnerable and love to share. But I realize that I'm just puking on people and sharing and causing more offense in other people. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be a sower of division. And there's other ways and healthier ways for me to process and to move forward with the Lord. So I believe that there's things that are operating inside of us that I know the Lord is calling us higher. And there might be things that people notice or they don't notice. But if God brings it to your mind, I would love for you to take time to think about what are you leaving behind that you're not supposed to bring forward in this new season? What are you leaving behind? Then secondly, what do you want to grab onto? These are really huge. In a new season, there's new grace. Why don't you stand with me? We're preparing for a fast. And so in preparation, I want you to pray about how do you want to engage with the fast? Do you want to not do food, a meal, a portion of the day, all of the days? Is there something else that you want to say no to? How do you want to engage? And then praying, asking God even for what he has for you. Like what does he want you to be praying for? We are going to have daily themes and scriptures, and it's all on our website. If you go to what's happening on our studiogreenville.com, you'll see I have a document on fasting. I covered a bit of it this morning, but there's also daily themes and scriptures and prayers if you want to pray, join us in praying in any of those. After you decide how you want to do the fast, I encourage you, write it down. And I say this because you know how many of us say, I'm going to start a diet tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, And you're all, well, I mean, but today I'll just have some donuts. I'm like, they're healthy, right? I mean, isn't there something good in there? Like, it's just easier. It's so much clearer if you just say, like, actually, this is what I'm choosing to do for my fast. Write it down. And then my second encouragement is whatever you decide to do, if you live with people, probably letting one of them know if you think it's going to affect them at all. Like if you're going, gosh, I'm not going to do dinner every week. Then if you live with people, probably letting them know, because what's going to happen, you don't share with anybody because you're like, no, I just unto the Lord. That's great. You don't realize they went out and they made this giant meal for you on the second day. And you're like, well, I feel obligated to eat now. They didn't know. And you're like, oh, bummer. I couldn't actually follow through with what I committed to because I didn't set myself up. Or the people around me. So just thinking about it, like, what does it look like to fully commit to this? So take time this week. We're going to start next, the following Monday, a week from Monday. And we believe that in this time that we seek God, that he's going to answer us, that it's going to be a season of leveling up, and there is going to be clarity and breakthrough. Does anybody want that? Yes. Yes. So we say, yes, Lord.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.